Yes, so last week we...
At the beginning of both, we saw that there were two ashanim of the wealth which a person has. But it comes out not so good. The first item was that the wealth was given to him lechatchila as an einish. The second one was that it's given to him not as an einish, but he misused it, right? Yeshua shavu yisitachas ha-shemesh v'rabahi al ha-odam. Right? In other words, he uses it in a big way, in a broad way. Now, there's such an inyan of having the gift which the Rabbi Shem gives one taken away if they're not used right. So now the Sefer goes on and shows the same thing is not only by Aisha, it's also by children. A person would have 100 children. And he's going to live for many years. And he has many, many, many years. I mean, it's what people want very much. People want to grow old. He has it. But when nafshalo sisba min hatoiva, you can have that he has all that, and even so, he ends up not happy. Vegam kavura lo haisalay, he loses his children. He won't even have kavura. In Chazal, the children are sometimes projected as a means for providing kavura for the parents. Well, in Tzivos, if the husband doesn't want to have children, the child, the woman can ask for a get because she says, I want a moral kvura, chutchul yod. If I want to have a son in my old age, somebody should be able to help me. When I die, somebody should be able to bury me. So he loses his children, and so much so that in the end he ends up even without kvura. Omati told me men hanofel. So the person who never had it, the person who was never born, is better than he. I mean, what does he mean? I mean, does he mean the pashtus of it is that if a person has 100 children and he loses them all, so then it's toiv mimenu hanofel? I mean, from what point of view does he mean that? Is it true? Is it not true? I mean, what, if it's true, what's the chiddush? If it's not true, what is true? I mean, is it toiv mimenu hanofel? Let's say somebody is like that. Somebody is around and he has 100 children and they all die. Is it toiv mimenu hanofel? Question. Of Yochanan, what? No, what? Oh, sorry. Yeah. What's the Gemara say? Oh, I was going to check to Rav Yochanan. Then Gamet Asir Obir. Rav Yochanan used to. When people Chalila lost a child, so Rav Yochanan used to go and be Menachem Ovel them. He used to go and he carried around a bone from his 10th child. He lost 10 children, he lost all his children. So he'd show the people the bone and he'd say, look, this is the 10th child that I lost. I mean, is that taka the vote? I mean, so. You're going to say that Rabbi Yochanan is toiv mimenu hanofel. Then think how much he was able to. I mean, let's ask ourselves: what was Rabbi Yochanan's nechama? He says, how was he menachem? And he went to the guy and he said, what? Well, worst things could happen. It's okay to have your child die because I had 10 children die. I mean, it doesn't make much sense. I mean, so it doesn't make me happy. That makes me even sadder. And so what was the nechama? Do you think that's a good way of being menachem somebody? Is that a nechama? Somebody has a terrible sorrow. You go to him and say, I also had a sorrow. Or so-and-so has it worse than you. What's he supposed to do about it? What's that? He shares with him. You're not sharing my trouble. He says, you're telling me that you had sorrows too. You lost 10 children. He says, what's he saying? I understand you, he says. I understand what's happening to you. Because I also suffered that way. Tenzin? How do you hear it, yeah? I don't know, it's hard to think, Khalil, I'd never want to be in the position to have to judge it, but is that taka like that? I mean, if somebody has a terrible tragedy happened to him, yeah? Do you think he feels comforted when he sees that somebody else had it worse? Yeah? Is that what you want? When you're Menachem and Orville, right? What do you want him to feel? What's the nefam? It's not so bad. Is that the word? Is that the mitzvah? Isn't it bad? If somebody dies for it, it's not terrible. The whole dinim of Avelus is to be nice to boil and chavera, and it's a terrible thing. What is nishkin einish to have a child die for it? It's what's the nechama? It's not so terrible. Worse things can happen. Is that what you're saying? What do you think is the real nechama? That's terrible. Because I mean, what you're saying is that I think that the concept I think is all wrong. I mean, is that taka what we try to do when we go to the Menachem? Oh, but unfortunately, that's a lot of times what happens. You know, you sit around by a shiva and schmooze about all kinds of things. I don't think that is what nechama is. I don't think that's what comfort is. I mean, not to think about it. So you have a much better method. Bring along a bottle of water. And you forget about everything. Right? You know what he's saying?
You'll come and tell this person that I have the same
thoughts
as you did. I was able to have survived
through all of this. Oh, no, I don't think so. I think, Danny, you're right. That's the necham. If you imagine, have we ever noticed anything? Oh, that he can't this. He's walking around depressed. Yeah? And his whole life is sort of sapped out of him, and then there's nothing worth living for. And then you don't get that impression from Rabbi Yochanan, right? So let's talk to the way he was, yeah. That he the first magish, the whole kinnara, and the frischkeit, and the. How you imagine Rabbi Yochanan? Imagine the biggest god, right? And he comes in as Menachem of it. Tells him, "Then Gamad Asi Rabbi," he says, "Look." Maybe the nechama is that life hasn't ended. That's the word, right? In other words, that it's shy to bounce back. Now, that itself wouldn't mean very much in terms of a real nechama, unless a person would draw the conclusions, like, why is it shy to bounce back? Isn't it a terrible, impossible tragedy? Why should I be able to bounce back? In other words, maybe Rabbi Yochanan was just callous. Didn't care. You didn't have people like that. People are so hardened and self-centered that you don't care about people at all. This, my life's gone out. My life is over. I can't see myself living like this. What would have been necessary that Rabbi Yochanan's nechama should be a meaningful nechama, should be a real nechama, should taka be a nechama? Well, first of all, I guess Rabbi Yochanan would have come in showing himself to be what I'm sure he was, that means a very caring person, a very loving person. Sure he was. Otherwise he wouldn't have been Rabbi Yochanan. So then the person must have asked himself, well, why? Why were you able to bounce back? What's happened? What does that say about life? What does that say about relationships? What does it say about the way people ought to feel about one another? Ought one not to be zerschlagen if he loses somebody very close and very dear to him? Well, maybe if you postulate that Rabbi Yochanan was a very warm person, was a very loving person, and this Ovel whom he was coming to be Menachem could pick that up, and he could see that that's so. So he'd probably ask himself, hey, why is it that way? What is it Rabbi Yochanan knows that I don't know? I feel completely broken up. I feel completely that life is not worth living anymore. What am I going to get up for tomorrow morning? So he'll probably be asking himself, well, what is it that Rabbi Yochanan knows that I don't know? Maybe Rabbi Yochanan Taka knows something. But maybe then he's on the real path to Nechama. Because what is the real Nechama? Right, if we reject what we heard before, I really don't think it's endless, that Nechama is to take somebody's mind of it. That's not that. What it's supposed to be. That's not Nechama. So what would Nechama be? Like, how would you define Nechama? Let's have a good definition of Nechama. I don't mean now specifically tell me what is Menachem at first, but what ought one to be heading for when one is Menachem somebody? Understanding, that's very good. What was it? Coping. Are you saying something different than there? Well, no, well, I think you're both heading in the same direction. In other words, probably the right nechama would be to give somebody the correct perspective of what happened so that he can be matzdik all of a sudden. Right? I mean, what do we do when somebody dies? Yeah? Is it, say, tzidduk hadin. Right? What is tzidduk hadin? Tzidduk hadin is matzik lo v'sadin, which means to accept the Rabbi Nishan's judgment in this and perceive it as tzedek, to perceive it as right, as the right thing. This is exactly right. So you have to have the right perspective for it. Now, of what components would you say that perspective would consist? In other words, what? If you had to, Chalila, go and be Menachem and Avil, and you'd sort of get that out of your mind, this business about getting the mind of it, and you'd want to sit down and say, well, I'd like to be Menachem, this person. And if you'd agree now to where we're heading, that the true Nechama, true way of being Menachem a person would be by helping him to gain an accurate perspective of what happened. So, what are the components, would you say, of such a perspective? In other words, how would a person learn to cope with a terrible loss? What would be the components of such a... You understand? That's a very good thing. That's a good model. It's like a stickle, a shvur stick in you. It's a shvur stick in you. Moa says that somebody lost a daughter. So the Amora went and he was Menachem. And what was his Nechama? His Nechama was that Amoin Moyov, Amoin Niveloy, Amoin Nis, Moyoviloy, Moyovis, the Bamisham said, Stay Predas Taivas Yeshli Lhoitzimen. That the Banisham, like he would have asked that Amoinim Moavi, all the Amoinim and all the Moavim, including the women. The Banisham said, I'm not going to do that because I want to have Rusam Moaviyah, Venamo, who Amoinis. So Mimeli was Mati, all the women from Amoinim Moav. So he told him, Madoch, because for two women, the Banisham was like a whole Ummah. He allowed to come Lekol because of these two women. So if your daughter would have had any tachlis in life, she would still be alive. That sounds very careless. It sounds like horrible. Like that's what kind of nechama is, eh? Tachlis is the nechama, is what you're saying. In other words, he was megalis, as Rav Moshe wouldn't let a person die. Yeah? If that person had not fulfilled the tachlis for which he was born. Right? And that is a very good perspective to have. In other words, it's all B'yad Hashem. And if the Rabbi Nisham takes somebody, that's a raya that there's no more point to be around here. I mean, if you postulate that Nisham Punktverkehr, that's Tsar, what does Nisham have to come down here to Pikesville for? It's much nicer in the Isle of Mahemes. So the Talmud says that there's something to do. But to keep him around when there's no more to do, why should you do that? Think that that is an aspect of a correct perspective of it. What do you say, Shlomo? Huh? Yeah. Okay, so what would be the nechama there? We said that this is one aspect of the nechama. Let's see whether we can see some others, yeah? You mean that the Misa is mechaper? Find that in the Dalat Chiluke Kapara, he says, right? That the Chayvaseh is Tshuva, has Loisaseh, you need Yom Kippur, Yesh Bakoros, you need Yisurim, Chil Hashem, you need Misa, but Misa is mechaper on everything. There's a Kapara. What about the Ramban? The Ramban in Re'eh. Boni matem l'Hashem l'akechem, l'asis goyredu, l'asisimu kochu v'enechem l'mez. What does the Ramban say? Don't be misabel too much. Don't be misabel. Don't go into hysterics. Don't wound yourself. Don't slash yourself. The Ramban explains why. Because the Vansham, yeah, he loved the Nifta more than you love him. So he wouldn't have taken him. It's no tragedy when a child goes back to its father. Going home. Right? For sure there's Hashuas HaNefesh. For sure the Neshama is continuing to live. So that's a certain perspective on death. That's a certain perspective on death. The realization that it's sad for us, but for the Nifter, the person who dies, doesn't have to be sad. It could be good, it could be nice. You know the moshul which the Geshe HaChaim? The Geshe HaChaim of Chil Michal Tikhotinsky has a three-volume work on Avelos, the Geshe HaChaim. In the first two volumes, he talks about the halachas. In the third volume, he talks about the hashkofa of dying. So he gives us moshul about the twins. You know it? You don't know it? So imagine yourself, he says, there are two twins, two embryos, and they're floating around inside the mother's womb, and they're having a great time together. It's nice and cozy. They play together and interact with one another. And having a great time. And this goes on for over 9 months. And this couldn't be nicer. And then suddenly, one day, the terrible traumatic experience, suddenly a great big hole opens. And this one twin sees his little brother moving away. And further and further and further out of reach. Till it disappears. So the twin is left, he shouts, hoy achi, where are you going? Where are you leaving me? What's happening to you? You're so happy here. And it's a schreckliche. But that's happening inside. What's happening on the outside? Mazel tov, mazel tov, zayingel, right? And everybody's happy and drinking a lechayim. So that's the hashkofer. Das liegt in jener Ramban. Choshev machashavas, the will to yidav mimena nidav, where the neshama is going, it's good. Meil teure asas, lois esimu koch v'nech v'mez, sad. Sad, of course the person is sad. He says, you're sad alive, you're sad. Right, never again. It's a very sad thing. But to go over hysterical, to start wounding yourself, that the Torah says, no, that's a wrong hashkafa. So that would be something which this Ovel would assume and learn from Rav Yochanan's back. Maybe he understood that the tragedy is not overwhelming. And Mimele he allowed or was able to control and to make that the sorrow should rebound. And sorrow eventually eases. That's the chesed which the Rav Yochanan does with people, that people forget. Rashi over there by Yaakov, Lachai she'enem mishtakav min alev, v'aymoen lehisnachem. Yaakov couldn't come with Yosef. The person's taka dies, so eventually the sorrow becomes mitigated. Yom HaShem.
In my friend is a show in the past, who died, he can nominate the ancestors for the first school, and it's over dead, and it's over anyway. So this,
Oh, yes. But don't militate emotions. In other words, they're going to be sad. What's he sad? The missus is very, very close and loving. And then people are selfish. Sorrow has to be assuaged too. That's important. The Ramban says, right? Says before, don't forget, the Ramban thought it necessary to avail us. I don't remember the exact logic, says, come on a sad word. Come back to it, right? What's that? What else would the person Rabbi Yochanan walk on? What else did Rabbi Yochanan have? What else was Rabbi Yochanan's secret and enabled Rabbi Yochanan to cope with all of overwhelming kind of tragedy? What else do you think Rabbi Yochanan know? Good. Now you're talking about the person who remained alive. In other words, he was matzdik all of it. Like we say, matzdik all of it, adin, in the sense that he accepted and he said, well, I preserved this. Is that what you're saying? All right? Well, he recognized his shortcoming and realized that the tzar which he's having, he probably deserved. What else do you think might have been going on, which he managed to convey to the Ovel with his Dein Kamad Asiro Bir? What other perspective do you think would have come across to this Ovel from Rabbi Yochanan's demeanor? Of a guilt trip. That's a good idea too. People might feel very guilty, and Rabbi Yochanan would say, look, perhaps. But what I was heading for was something else, that there's no such thing as, like, stop the world. I want each his own tafka to fulfill. He doesn't have a right to indulge in absolute sorrow. In other words, the kind of sorrow which makes him incapable of functioning, like I said before, Moshe, like, what am I going to get up for tomorrow? What's the point? That is a very, very un-Jewish and un-Talmudic way of looking at things. There's every point. The tafket, tachlis, for which the Rebbeinu Shem has you in this world, hasn't in any way changed by this loss. Now, it's the kind of self-indulgence which says, well, life isn't worth living anymore, that requires a very, very distorted what makes it worth living. Right? But in my view, the only thing that makes life worth living is interacting with the people who are close, then I better get moving and change my husband. Because these are all gifts which the Rebbeinu, but they do not in and of themselves. Now the moshel which Chazal say about that, about the fellow who had it in by the melech, right? And so he was very scared, so he took his friends along. So friends whom he valued very, very much, like they didn't even feel like taking the trip altogether, they didn't come along altogether. Then some other friends who he hadn't been machshav so much, but they came along with him. But they also, when he had us, they suddenly sort of weaseled away and they weren't around anymore. And one little bitsy friend whom he'd never counted at all, he was the guy who went with him into the palace and stood by him by the mishpat. As Chazal said, like a person is machshav, his machshav is wealth very much. When it's not going to come any along with him, it's going to stay right. So he's not even going to take one step to him. His family and friends, at least they come to the Visakhovas with him, they accompany him to the palace of the king. But the only thing which he goes along is his Masim Tovim. Right? What transpires from that Chazal, family, friends are a wonderful thing, they're not, but they do not define love. Idea that sustains Terabas, that sort of brings about a matzav where life. So, there is nothing in this world, life not worth living. Even very difficult, but the matzav comes from the person. The point isn't worth living anymore is the person dies. To that point, Shneimal is worth. These are the which Rabbi Yochanan comes to the. You've got to see these things in the right. You mustn't feel yourself broken. It can be sad, but it mustn't be broken. So those seem to me to be very reasonable hashkafas, ways of looking at them. Shetzach, when the Chalil, a person is tried and not always easy to them, but that's where I look. And a lot of times you know that to set an emotion. But so what does Kahelis mean over here? That im yoilet ish meyo v'shanim ravos yichye v'rav shiyu yimei shanav v'nafsho lo sispa min ha-toiva v'gam kruva lo hoysa lo om toiv v'meno ha-nofel. What could it mean? Is taka, that person's life not worth able to do during that lifetime? And what about the pleasures that he did have, the joys that he did have? Don't they make life worth living? Did he put on tefillin? Is it in the sukkah? Like what's toiv v'meno ha-nofel? So I think that Kohelet's, I mean, it's what we've been talking all along, is v'nafsho lo sisba min ha-toiva. If he wasn't happy, right? That's the nekuda in the pasuk. Versteht sich, a person who had meyo bonim, lost them all, and gam kruva lo hoysa loy. With all that, yeah? If his nefesh was soveya, and he took every moment as it came, was grateful for the moment, didn't demand eternity, didn't demand that everything which is so nice should continue indefinitely. He's not toiv mimeno ha-nofel. He's not that the nofel is better than he. It's better off than he. The nofel is a terrible tragedy. What Kohelet is talking about is the guy whose nafshe was not sova, right? And he dies be'inyan ra, which means that he never managed to get the right hashkofa ticking inside himself, yeah? And he's always complaining, and he's always unhappy, and nothing is ever good enough. And he's an unhappy, unsatisfied person. And he's talking about nothing. In other words, all the opportunities, think of the million opportunities which this person had in his life to make something of his life, and he lost them all, he avoided them, no? So think of what kindness the Rebbein Shem is going to him. It's toiv mimeno ha-nofel, the person who never had these opportunities, he's better off, at least he didn't throw them out. Another story about one of the big Hasidic Rebbes. So this was a big Rebbe, and he had a shamus, who also eventually became one of the very big Rebbeim. But for the first part of his life, he was mastir himself. Nobody knew what a tzaddik and a godel he was. And he was a shamus. He was the guy who swept out the Beis HaMedrash, who served the herring by Shabbos Seudos, and whatever it is that shamusim do. And he was very poor. So a fellow came once and asked the big rebbe. He asked him, he said, I don't understand the bruch. It says, Keshem shevochen ala tov, kach mevochen ala ra. The book of Dayan Emes. If somebody Chalila has tzoras, suffering, he also has to thank Hashem. He also has to daven to Hashem. He says, I don't have it otherwise. I don't understand it. So the Rebbe says, no, it's fair for me to explain it to you. Why don't you go and ask my shamans? I think he'll be able to explain it to you. So he goes to him and he goes into the house over there and he sees terrible poverty and sickness and everything. Like, there's nothing there. And he said, the Rebbe sent me to you. He said, maybe you can explain to me why we should make brochas when we have a tough life and when things are bad for us and when we have to suffer. Can you explain it to me? So he told it over. He said, I can't, you got the wrong address. He says, I haven't had a moment of suffering in my life, so how would I know? And of course, the Rebbe had understood that, and that was the answer, right? In other words, it's not necessary to break under suffering. On the contrary, suffering can be mechazik a person, can build a person up, can generate growth, can promote growth. That's the biggest side. So what Kohelet is saying is, it is nafsho, it's loises, but he doesn't realize that. See, this is a big mussa for us, because we have a tendency, when
things don't go well. So even if we take it well, the best that we kind of generate is, well, it won't last forever. And tomorrow it'll be better, next year it'll be better. When this happens, it'll be better. When that happens, it'll be better. Instead of being besimcha and being positive, not because this particular situation will become alleviated, but because this particular situation as is a cause for simcha and is a cause for satisfaction, we could do that, we'd be much better. Because like this, we're always living in the future. We're not satisfied. This isn't good, that isn't good, but it'll become good. Yeah? I get married, I become rich, I do this, I get a different kavusa, I get into a different shia. Like it's always, like it'll become okay. Trick is to find that the matzav in which one is. That's what's okay. That's what the Rabbi Hashem wants. So that's the matzav in which he should find himself as simple.